big themes from the CAA World Congress of Sports? 1. Continued growth around women's sports. 2. Private equity's continued focus on sports as a target market. And 3. How can the sports industry be more customer friendly? Those were prevalent themes throughout the few days in Los Angeles, and you'll continue to see a lot of coverage around those themes going forward. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Monday, April 22nd. Good morning. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Let's get right to it. Bills owner Terry Pegula is selling a stake in the team, though he has declined to say how much of the team is being sold. Pegula has hired Allen & Company to handle a potential transaction. A source said that the working figure is around 25% of the team, as Pegula would intend to bring on a limited partner. This is not a surprise. We have talked a lot about Pegula's efforts in Buffalo, and this is a chance for Terry Pegula and Kim Pegula to get some liquidity out of the team. And that would be worth hundreds of millions of dollars to the Pegulas at a time when they are facing increasing cost overruns at the new Highmark Stadium. Now, sources said that what started as a $1.3 billion project is now projected to cost more than $1.7 billion, and the stadium could end up costing closer to $2 billion. And all cost overruns are absorbed by the Pegulas. So it's unclear if there could be any impact on the Pegulas' future ownership of the Buffalo Sabres or any of their other minor league team holdings. But this will be a transaction to watch, especially if there is a path to future majority control of the Bills by any new limited investor in the team. Let's move on. Don't expect a new arena for Utah's NHL team, as owner Ryan Smith said he will move forward with some major renovations at the Delta Center, making the arena much more hockey-friendly. The renovation would allow for approximately 17,500 seats in a hockey configuration. That's more than the 14,000 that is kind of targeted right now for the NHL team. The construction would be implemented over multiple summers. Now, the Delta Center currently hosts 18,300 for basketball, but like I said, the early line was that it would host around 14,000 for hockey. Now, Ryan Smith did acknowledge that he really wanted to build a new arena south of Salt Lake City. That was his first option and his first idea, and that was his preference. But he said legislative leaders intervened and convinced him to keep the Jazz and the NHL team in downtown Salt Lake City. Meanwhile, as of late Friday evening, nearly 22,000 people had put down $100 to reserve season tickets. So the early numbers are encouraging. And don't overlook what a move this has been for the NHL and Commissioner Gary Bettman. This was quite an effective accomplishment. Days after Bettman said at the CAA World Congress of Sports that NHL franchises were vastly undervalued, comes this unique move of the league buying its least successful franchise in Arizona for a record $1 billion and then selling it to Ryan Smith for a reported $1.2 billion. So as I see it, Gary Bettman was able to set a new floor for league franchise values. He was able to get into the Utah market before a possible MLB expansion team. He was able to solve a problem in Arizona and keep Arizona as an open market eligible for a future team at a seemingly higher price once it secures a new arena. So some pretty deft maneuvering there by Bettman and the NHL. You know, last week in Los Angeles, Stan Kasten spoke with such admiration of his colleagues at the Professional Women's Hockey League and all they have been able to accomplish, and in such a short period of time. They got this league up and running in about 6 months, and the league continues to break records. Think about this. on Saturday night, the matchup between Montreal and Toronto at the Bell Center drew more than 21,000 fans. That is the largest attendance ever recorded for a women's hockey game anywhere in the world. It beat the previous attendance record, which was 19,000, that was set in February. So this is the sixth time the PWHL has set an attendance record since launching on January 1st. Five of those games involved Montreal. And if you look at these numbers, they're real. 10,000, 15,000, 18,000. And then now you've got 21,000 fans. These are just really amazing numbers. And the Montreal Gazette reported that Saturday night's game at the Bell Center was more than just a hockey game. It was a celebration for women's sports. Remember, the game wasn't even intended to be played at the Bell Center, but they moved it there because of the demand. So the PWHL has truly been a remarkable story so far in 2024. We will continue to see big numbers, of course, attending women's sports events such as the WNBA around Caitlin Clark. And here's an example. The WNBA's Mystics announced they will move their first game against Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever to the Capital One Arena in downtown Washington, D.C. due to unprecedented demand. And I bet you'll see more and more of that as Caitlin Clark's career begins in the W. And another thing I'm continuing to watch is the investment into brick and mortar and facilities when it comes to women's sports. We want to see more physical structures dedicated and built to address all areas of the women's game. And we are seeing this. Here are a couple of examples. The WNBA's Dallas Wings are close to relocating to a renovated downtown convention center arena. The Wings currently play at the University of Texas's Arlington campus in a facility that seats about 7,000 fans. But the Dallas Memorial Auditorium will be renovated. It will have a capacity of nearly 10,000. It will be more centrally located. Their proposal to bring the Wings to downtown Dallas includes year-round use of the building for training and office space. This should be a vehicle for the team to draw more fans in an upgraded facility. And more investment in women's sports by one of the leading organizations in the WNBA comes in Seattle as the Storm unveiled their new practice facility, which is called the Seattle Storm Center for Basketball Performance. This is the real deal. A $64 million, 50,000 square foot facility, state-of-the-art indoor courts, outdoor courts, nutrition centers, players lounge, weight and training rooms, an aquatic center. It brings the basketball and business side of the Storm's operations under one roof. And the Storm never had their own practice facility, and they now really become the first W team to design and build a practice facility from scratch. Remember, the Las Vegas Aces spent $40 million to renovate an existing facility. The Phoenix Mercury is expected to complete a $100 million practice facility before the start of this year's training camp. So again, we are seeing all these investments in facilities, very positive signs for women's sports. And we'll end around the PGA Tour because this was interesting. The Tour's board of directors met last week at the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head for nearly 4 hours, according to Golf Channel. And there was also a player advisory council meeting that featured Fenway Sports Group's advisor, Theo Epstein. And he spoke to the golfers for more than an hour. And he outlined how Major League Baseball was able to attract new fans and a younger demographic with rule changes and new initiatives that made the game faster and more appealing. So this was intended to show the PGA Tour players just what the investment of the Signature Sports Group can offer to the PGA Tour in terms of resources and ideas and experience. And much of the discussion focused on making the golf game more presentable and enjoyable for fans. And that really resonated with the players in attendance because players right now are frustrated. They are frustrated by the lagging interest in the game of golf. And Max Homa, one of the golfers who sat in on the presentation, said that his biggest takeaway was there is innovation and new possibilities coming that will benefit the golf fan, and the new ideas should increase fan engagement and make the game more fun for fans to watch. And as I said, a number of players understand that golf fans are truly frustrated right now, and the PGA Tour and the global game of golf has its work cut out for it in terms of winning the fans back, and Theo Epstein took some steps to outline ideas and options they could implement to try to begin that process. And this is going to be one of the more intriguing stories to watch in all of sports business. And so that is your Morning Buzzcast for Monday, April 22nd. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you tomorrow.